The founding fathers of America acknowledge that our Creator has endowed us with the right to life, but that right to life has been greatly undermined by the abortion ethic. The Supreme Court gave us abortion on demand in 1973 with Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. But in 2022, after some 64 million abortions in this country, the High Court overturned Roe in the Dobbs v. Jackson decision. However, the battle over life in America is far from over. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we welcome as our guest Nicole Hunt of Focus on the Family. She serves as the life issue analyst for that organization and writes articles sometimes for Daily Citizen. FocusOnTheFamily.com for more information. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, as you assess the battle over life in America, first of all, what would you say to anybody that would imply that the battle is over, our side won because Roe was overturned?
Yeah, I mean, my response would be, it's the end of chapter one, but we're starting chapter two. And it's certainly not the end of the story. It's the next chapter in the story to try to not only change laws in America, but to change people's hearts and minds on the idea of abortion. And that's a cultural revolution. That's something that's going to take a long, long time. In fact, we might be able to change laws faster than we change culture. So people need to sit tight, buckle up, and get ready for the long, long ride, which is going to be trying to make our culture more pro-life.
Well, you know, one aspect of this that is really important is to bang the drum as much as we can on the safe haven or safe harbor laws, that in all 50 states and the District of Columbia, there are laws on the books that will help women. Let's say they have an abortion. I'm sorry, they have a baby, but they don't want to have that baby, or they feel overwhelmed or whatever. In some cases, some people will actually kill their baby, and I'm sure they're ignorant of this safe haven, safe harbor law. Can you talk about that? Because I think that's something we just need to keep letting people know about, so it's widely known in the culture, which it is not at present.
Yes. I mean, those laws, they literally save babies' lives. Because here's the truth. Sometimes women get to the point where they have the baby and they are just not ready to be a parent. But there are places, in fact, many fire stations, depending on which state you live in, hospitals, you can just drop that baby off, no questions asked, and they'll look to rehome that baby, to find a place, a family that will love it and wants it. And so I think what's so important about these types of laws is that they encourage women to choose life for their baby. Even after that baby is born, there's an opportunity to choose life. And so in each of our states, those are things that we should be making sure people, women, know about so that they don't feel like they are in this desperate place and the only option is to choose death. Because the truth is that is the line of reasoning that Planned Parenthood and others in the abortion industry push. And so it's not surprising that women who might have just given birth to a baby still think that the only way out is to choose death. But it is wrong. And so we need to be a part of helping these women know that there are other alternatives, that they can choose life both before the baby's born and also after the baby's born.
Okay, now, one of the things Dobbs did, it basically said this is a state-by-state issue. The Supreme Court never should have, you know, assumed power unto itself in the Roe decision and basically took the power out of the hands of the states, therefore taking the hands out of we the people. But the different states have very different views on this. I mean, Minnesota recently passed a very stringent pro-abortion law. So did Michigan. And so have other states. And then meanwhile, you've got, you know, places like Georgia and Texas and Florida and so forth, where there are pro-life laws. So comment on it's almost like a big checkerboard, but it seems America is definitely divided on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the truth. The truth is that when the Supreme Court overturned Roe, what they did, first of all, they restored constitutional order and they restored power back to the people and their elected representatives to make decisions about abortion policy, which is how it should have been all along. So they did the right thing. But what happened is that you take this one fight, which was a fight over abortion and what the Constitution says, the abortion, if abortion is allowed or not allowed within the Constitution. We took that question, which was one fight, and then we turned it into 50 fights, right? We turned it into fights in every single state. And if you count the federal government, because now Congress and the House and the Senate are considering whether or not they can pass their own bills federally, and then you take in the territories. What we did is we made it a multi-front battle. And so the truth is that folks in the pro-life movement, we need to be engaged at our local level in our own states, and we need to be knowing what is the abortion policy in our state? Is it being challenged? Because here's what we know with regard to how the abortion industry is fighting now. So now that these decisions have been moved down to states, the abortion industry is trying this approach from three different sides. First of all, they're trying to read a right to an abortion in state constitutions through the privacy clause. That's the first way they're doing it. They're trying to challenge laws that are pro-life, saying that they're unconstitutional under the state constitution because the state constitution privacy language includes protection for abortion. That's one way they're doing it, through the courts. Another way they're doing it is simply trying to pass more pro-abortion legislation through the state legislatures. And so this is something that's really important for people to take mind of, because in this last election cycle, Planned Parenthood, they had a press release that said they were committing $50 million. Specifically, they said, quote, to put in abortion champions at the state level. So they know that those people who are representing us in the state house and the state senate are now going to be significantly impacting abortion policy in the states. So the way that they're fighting back is to get their abortion champions into those positions of authority so that the state will have pro-abortion laws on the books. That's the second way. The third way that they are trying to come at pro-life states or pro-life laws and promote their own abortion-friendly laws is through ballot measures. Now, this isn't something that can be done in every single state, but many, many states allow for citizen-initiated ballot measures. And we saw this in many of the, several of the measures that came up this last election cycle, where there were ballot measures in Michigan, in Montana, and in Kentucky. And in all three of those cases, voters showed up and they voted against the pro-life position. So this is another area where the abortion industry knows that if they run these ballot measures, they can turn out folks who want to vote for abortion rights better than the folks who are trying to protect life issues. And so they're trying to fight it in that direction. So we're looking at a direct vote. We're looking at the votes of the members who are elected. And then we're also looking at the state courts. So there is a three-front battle happening just at every single state level. It is very, very important for the pro-life movement to stay engaged and to show up and to vote and be a part of the debate that's happening at our local levels.
Is this like David and Goliath?
It sometimes feels that way. I was actually looking at the numbers from the election cycle. And I mean, the pro-life movement is always outspent by the abortion industry. But we shouldn't be surprised by this, right? I mean, Planned Parenthood is basically making a business investment when they say we're going to target and try to promote candidates who support abortion. They're basically promoting their own business model by doing this. So what we need to realize in the pro-life movement is that we need to show up not just with our time and our energy, but our resources, our prayers. We need to show up on every single front, because the truth is that the abortion industry is going to stop at nothing to preserve their business model.
I understand that in some cases, I've heard this about California, for example, that the baby is allowed to be aborted up to 28 days or something like that after the baby is actually out of the womb. And then in that case, it's all of a sudden it's blurring the line between abortion and direct infanticide. Your comments on that?
Well, I mean, I think that we've seen cases where the abortion lobby, I mean, clear cases of infanticide. For instance, when babies are born alive during an attempted abortion, Common practice right now is to simply put them to the side and let them die, or that abortionists will intentionally kill them during the process, because in that instance, the patient, who's the mother, not the baby, doesn't want that baby, right? It's an attempted abortion. Well, in the House of Representatives, just earlier in the month, we saw that the House passed a bill that would say that infants born alive during an attempted abortion are required to have medical care. In fact, it even recognizes that those infants have legal rights as persons under the U.S. Constitution, and they have a right to be treated as a patient. So what we know is that passed the House just, in fact, I think it was yesterday, Senators Thune and Lankford introduced a similar companion bill on the Senate side saying the same thing, that those babies born alive. And at this point, we are talking about infanticide. These are babies that take their first breath, that if they were given medical care, would probably be able to live. But because it's happening on an abortionist table and not the table of a doctor who's helping a mom who wants her child in the hospital, that it's perfectly acceptable to let that baby die or to kill that baby in common practice versus to save the baby at the exact same age. So it is so important. The problem is right now we have these issues, which are human rights issues, are being treated as if they're partisan issues, as if only Republicans should support the fact that babies who are born alive should be given medical care. No, the truth is Republicans and Democrats and independents, anyone should recognize that that baby has a right to life. It has been born. It is alive. And we need to provide the medical care that is necessary to help it live.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you were talking about the example where, on the one hand, they could just let the baby die by not feeding the baby or whatever. But on the other hand, there, in some cases, there would be the deliberate taking of that baby's life through their actions. Well, Kermit Gosnell is in prison today because he did that. You know, he killed all these babies. He would have the baby, he would deliver the baby and then directly kill, as opposed to doing all the killing inside the womb. And for that, he was in prison. All right, let's move on to other issues. Vandalism against pro-life centers is amazing, but also this harassment of Supreme Court justices, this is not stopped. And the two-tier justice system is just awful, that the Biden administration will go after peaceful pro-life protesters, will not lift a finger to try and stop some of these harassments against Supreme Court justices, even though that's totally illegal, and they don't seem to care about the attacks against the pro-life centers or even churches because they stand for life.
I mean, it's a major problem. Here's the truth. During the last congressional session, there were pro-life lawmakers who wanted to put out bills to condemn these violent acts, and they weren't even given the time of day. But what we do know, for instance, at the beginning of this session, one of the very first measures that was passed was a pro-life measure that had to do with condemning the violence against pro-life organizations, churches, and pregnancy resource centers who are simply trying to step in the gap. There is a gap. The gap is that there are women who choose life. And this is the dirty truth about the pro-abortion movement, is that they say they're pro-choice, but what they actually are is they're pro-abortion. And the reason they're pro-abortion is because they have business interests at stake. They want women to get abortions because it helps the bottom line. They aren't really pro-choice. If they were pro-choice, they would support the efforts of the pro-life pregnancy resource centers who step in and say, hey, there are alternatives to abortion. I know that you feel like this is your only choice, that you're desperate, that you're hopeless, that you don't have people who can help you. But we're here. We're going to step in. We're going to be community. We're going to help you find resources. And we're going to help you make this something that you can do, not just before you have the baby, not just when you have the baby, but even after you have the baby.
Okay, Nicole, thank you so much. We're out of time. I appreciate that. Nicole Hunt with FocusOnTheFamily.com. Thank you, Nicole. All the best.